This is a Niche Radio podcast. For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.
Good morning. On this chilly Monday morning, I'm here with Bertu, which is from Altu, and one of the well-knownest red wine estates within the country. Actually, we're chatting now earlier about with regards to how old Altu actually is this year, and we see 100 years, which is quite a long time for South African wine. So, Bertu, it's lovely being here. It's just chilly.
it's this time of the year, so we need the chill for the
of course,
the plants rest and everything. So
it's
good to have some. Coffee.
So we're doing a Come Wine with Us in July in Joburg with Altu, and that's taking place on 24th and 25th of July, and we nearly sold out, so we're very fortunate about that because people are always excited to drink red wine in winter. So yes, but from my side, how it all started, I think I met Bertu in Stellenbosch for Braai 02, quite a few Braai 02,
many moons ago.
And it was much fun, and we always had good wine, and Bertu made sure of that. And since then you've evolved working at Altu, and tell us about the background. How did it all start?
Yes, well, Altu, well, besides the fact that we are celebrating our 100th sort of anniversary this year, we've only had 5 winemakers in the past, and I've worked in a couple of other estates before, and then my father was the winemaker before me, and I took over from him in 2015, 1st of May 2015.
How long was he here?
He was here since 2000, so probably about 15 years.
15 years,
15
that's
vintages. He's only been on two farms, the one Niedlingshof on the other side of Stellenbosch, and then Altu.
Awesome. And then your father brought you underneath his wing, and did you do some brachia? What was your history? Did you go and study at, I presume?
Yes, I studied at Stellenbosch, and then couldn't find a job back then. It was tough. The industry was going through a lot of changes. So my first job was actually a viticulturist at Citrusdal Cellar. So it's quite a drive for me. I learned a lot, I must say. I've got a big love for viticulture as well.
Yes.
And it plays a fundamental role in winemaking. Everything
vineyard.
Starts there. It's a cliche, but it does. Mm. And then I moved on to Kleinerzalse in Stellenbosch. And then after Kleinerzalse, I went to Boschendal for DGB. And then went through all the steps to come to Altu.
Okay, great. And red wine, has it always been in your blood?
You know, I actually miss I miss white wine. I still love white wines. I think we produce some of the best in the world. But you think, you know, if you think about it, actually, if someone asks you, you know, what was your favorite wine you've ever had in your life?
Yes.
Not that I can pinpoint one, but I think 95-98% of the time it will be red wine.
Yes.
So people tend to talk more about red wines. I think white wines are here. It's classic. It's very good. It's, you know, but they tend to, the public tend to talk about it for 1 year, 2 years, you know, and then you sort of move over to new vintages where wines that you can remember that are great from great vintages, they tend to, you know, you can have a conversation in 10 years time about the, let's say, Cabernet that you tasted or whatever, and you can actually go back and still drink the wine and it will still be good.
Old world, new world styles, type of things. In a nutshell, what are we doing here? Are you taking inspiration from, let's say, France? Where do you draw your inspiration from?
I think if you look at our terroir and our wine styles in Stellenbosch, I mean, some other areas might differ. But for Stellenbosch, I think we are sort of a good combination between the new and old wines. I think we've come a long way from having really old world style wines in the 70s, 80s, maybe early 90s. And I think then we moved over much more towards the modern style of wine, if you think of Shiraz, for instance. But I think for us as a South African industry, we are still where we are, where
well,
we want to go.
Two.
Yeah, we are sort of in between. And that's what I like about it, because you can have all the freshness and the refine and the sort of full, rich fruit from the new world, but you can also have that classic elegance, you know, and you can build those two elements into the same wine. And I think that's where my sort of midway lie at the moment. Yeah, I would like to produce something like
that. Do you prefer blends, or do you like your straight up cabs and Shiraz and so forth?
I think a blend is probably the perfect wine that you can produce. But for us at the moment, we're focusing a lot on Cabernet Sauvignon. We have about 50% of the vineyards are planted with Cabernet Sauvignon. And then we also focus on a single variety Shiraz. And of course, then we have the Alto Rouge, which has always been a blend, and it will be a blend from now on and continue.
And that's a set recipe that you follow every year, or is it a bit of
It's not completely set or cast in stone.
Sorry, this is a bomb, by the way.
So it's not completely cast in stone. The blend will always differ through the year, but the style of the wine will be the same. The wine's DNA will be the same.
Yes.
So some years we have the backbone of that is Cabernet Franc and Shiraz and Cabernet Sauvignon, a little bit of Merlot, a little bit of Petit. The percentages will always differ, and obviously the styles from year to year, but I think the DNA of the wine should be the same, and you will always get the same style, fruit, everything in
the
wine.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And consistency is key. I mean, how many liters do you actually produce of Alto Rouge?
Well, let me put it that way. We sell about just under 2,000 bottles of that a day.
A day?
Yes.
And it's
mostly sold in South Africa. We have some one or two other markets that we export the wine to, but focusing mainly on South Africa, Namibia, Botswana. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Yes. That's 2,000 every single day of the year.
Yeah, let's say 1,700 and something. So
I'll make the math
later. Very close to that. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And you are born and bred Stellenbosch.
Yes, I was born on Netlingshof actually, not on in the hospital, but then grew up on Netlingshof the first part of my life.
So you come from a wine farm.
Come from a wine farm. Yeah, my grandfather was also a viticulturist or a farm manager on Netlingshof, and then my father was the first winemaker on Netlingshof, and then obviously he moved from Netlingshof here. And so the love for wine was started at a young age. Yeah, yeah. So
did you also poke your bottle into the bottles when you were a child and then tasted the wine and loved
it? Yeah, I think we did all the stuff that you're not allowed to say, but yes, I think we did.
I actually still have pictures of myself doing it with bottles of wine. My mother's got it at home and was one time bring it, and I was literally with white wine. I loved white wine.
Yeah.
I still love it.
Yeah.
And poking, and it's just part of it. Yeah, I mean, I was chatting to Izelle about it the other day, and she said, what's lovely about it, we grew up with wine. We sort of used to, on a Sunday, you had a little
bit, and
you were taught about it,
and the education
around it. And
It's funny that you mention it, actually, because I mentioned to my children the other day, I said, listen, because they always ask for a slicky. And then I told them, listen, but I think we should start or get the whole thing going again of Sunday lunch together. And you have a small glass of wine, because that's what we used to have.
That's what we did.
Yeah, you have that, and sometimes it's the wine tastes better than other Sundays. But it was a learning curve from young, and you appreciate those things much more now than you used to back then. So.
Yeah, I mean, we started with sweet wine.
Yes,
I can remember.
Of course, I think it should be part of our. Well, I think everyone should give their children introduce them to something that's good.
Yes.
And you need to do it. It's important.
Talking about that, tell me, what is your, if I may ask, what's your challenges in the wine industry in South Africa?
There's some stuff I'm not allowed to say.
That's fine. Just think fine now, but overall.
I think it's agriculture in South Africa is a challenge. It is not, well, first of all, not the most agriculture-friendly environment that we actually farm in. And that is nature and the South African, the situation we have. But I think if you focus on the positive things, there's more than enough positive things to take out.
100% agree, yeah.
And if you can turn all your energy, all the negative energy into positive energy, I just want to make the best wine and the wine that people will remember. That's bottom line.
Yeah.
And then the bank must also balance it. The end of the day, so it's nice to make good wine, but you must make something
Do you have some friends in the bank industry?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's good.
Unfortunately, I don't worry too much. I just manage the finances, but it's not my money, so it's okay. But I mean, it's all part of the business nowadays. I mean, those days of making wine and it's just you and the farm. Those days are over. You are a financial manager. You're accountable for anything that happens on the farm. And from cutting the or mowing the grass or mowing the lawn, right through to customer complaints.
Okay.
And you need to be able to answer each and everything in between. So
what would you say is the most crucial thing in that chain? to always have a lookout for. If you've got a, for your, from your experience being with Altu, what do you think is, where do you really know that that's how you're managing your wine well?
I think it's satisfaction from customers at the end of the day. I think they, it's the appreciation that people show when they taste the wine, or when they, when they, when you see a picture somewhere, yes, and it has a bottle of Altu on, or yeah, something like that for me is it's priceless. It's it's not necessarily awards and medals and whatever. It's day to day consumers that actually they just love the wine, and it's good to hear that. And being in the last couple of years, we've put a lot of emphasis on Rouge again. It's a wine that sells at a very cheap price,
But the quality is good.
And quality and consistency is what's key to that wine. So if we can just make it better and better and better, and better for the customer, because the customer, not everyone can buy 300, 400 rand a bottle wine every day and enjoy it. But we want to, I want to offer them some something that they can drink and they will know. It's, it is Stellenbosch and it's quality.
Yeah. I saw, I had a sneak peek, you had a rosé inside here, but it's a Cabernet rosé, which
it's
is quite interesting.
Rosé, yeah.
We, tell me about that.
Ach, it's only available from the the
Cellador.
Main reason for that is just because, you know, sometimes in summer we have 40 degrees Celsius.
Tell me, how versatile is Stellenbosch's soils here? What would you say? I know it's great with red wine. And you've got the Golden Triangle around here in this area. Tell us about the Golden Triangle. Why is it so special?
Basically, the Golden Triangle is just an area which you find top quality wine. It stretches from the Stellenbosch mountain, that sort of the foothill in Stellenbosch, and it goes all the way probably to about Raithby on the behind us. And then obviously the two mountains forms like a triangle, and that's considered the Golden Triangle. It's not a, it's just an area. It's a nickname for the area that we are situated in, and we are slap bang in the middle. And there's a lot of quality producers that we have in this triangle. So yeah. In terms of versatility for soil types, our area, I mean, if you take our neighbors as well, is particularly well suited for red wine. And it's not just that the soils. I think sometimes we have soils that might be too rich. So one of our areas where we work a lot on is basically not having too much growth in your vineyards, and actually let the plant concentrate on the fruit rather than, you know, growth. But if you look at our neighbors, I mean, Cabernet Sauvignon is really, this is Cabernet country. Stellenbosch really does well with Cabernet, and we are north-facing as well. So I think all the elements that goes with the north-facing slope is, in the southern hemisphere, it's your warmer slope. So obviously, you will have a lot of sun, and being in South Africa, obviously, that's never a problem. But then we are also, our proximity to the ocean is probably about 6 kilometers as the crow flies. So then you're in Falls Bay, and you know, you don't swim there usually because the water is too cold.
And so, the sharks.
So we have the Cape Doctor, the southeaster, blowing at about, let's say we've got nice warm mornings, but 11 o'clock, half past 11, the wind will start blowing in, southeaster comes in, and it brings the temperature down. I mean, I've checked the temperature at the bottom here versus the top, anything between 3 and 5 degrees Celsius difference, and that's a massive difference. So what we then have is, especially on our border varieties and like Cabernet, that just lengthens your hanging time. So you have slow ripeness, you have cool sunshine.
But that's also and good for development of flavor.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then you don't have the accumulation of sugar like that, but no ripeness in terms of tannin ripeness. But if you can have your tannin ripeness and your sugar accumulation running sort of together, then you then you've got a, then you've got the perfect wine. And obviously it's not just us, it's our neighbors as well, I think we produce.
Talking about your neighbors, whose wine will you drink if you don't drink your wine?
No, I try not to drink our own wine too often. Yeah, no, we I enjoy white,
like?
As I say.
Yeah.
I like Chenin. I like Sauvignon. I like Chardonnay. It just depends. I think South Africa produces top quality wooded Chardonnays nowadays. Sometimes a little bit expensive, but really top class wines. Reds, I really enjoy blends. I really think you can build sort of a perfect wine with a blend. But otherwise, Cabernet is king. It's still like that, yeah.
Yeah. Our Cabernets taste quite different than other markets or other types of Cabernets, you think? What is our typical Cabernet character in South
Africa?
You know,
if, I think that's also a very interesting tasting we did the other day, was just Stellenbosch areas. So we had the Bottelaar Hills, we had Simonsberg, we had the Jonkershoek sort of wines, we had the Elderberg wines, we had the Fore area and Somerset West wines. Mm. It was amazing to see just in, let's say, 20 kilometer radius, the difference that you get in the wines. And I think every area has got, you know, something that comes from that area that makes it special. I think Elderberg, for instance, has got a fynbos character in the wine,
yes.
A sort of herbaceousness that people often refer to, yes, the wine is green. It's not that the wine is green. It depends if the wine is in balance, and the quality, it comes from the fruit. If you look at the Simonsberg wines are very nice, very pure, very clean wines, a lot of red fruit character. Mm. If you look at the Jonkershoek wines, for me, I can taste them out from a mile. You can taste, it's got the classical, much more classical flavors and pencil shavings as well that you don't find in all the other areas. So I think we have, with all these elements that we have, we can actually put a world-class performance on Cabernet.
Okay, yeah. Give them the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and what's your seeing around, like, say, competitions and things? Do you think it's biased? Or do you think it's sometimes irrelevant? There is so many, that's what I'm asking.
Yes.
So what is really relevant and what not? What do you think?
Yeah. It is difficult because sometimes, you know, like the old people used to say, if you want to catch fish, your lines must be in the water. So you can't really say. I think competitions are strategic. You need to, you know, you need to decide before the time where you want to be and what you want to enter in. It is expensive. You can't just enter everything. If you enter into the international competitions, it's sometimes up to £1,000 or 1,000 euros of wine. Yes, yes.
Yep.
So it's a lot of money. And yeah, for our total package to enter. But I mean, it's a lot of money, so you have to budget for that. But it is important, yes, because especially if you play in a market where you have a lot of wine to sell.
And in big distribution.
Big distribution. Yeah. I've seen stickers help. Mm. But it's not the beginning and the end for me.
Yeah, no, but South Africa is different. Where I find sometimes in France, you go, the more you pay, that is what you pay for, and that's what you get.
Yeah,
you can pay sometimes 40 rand a bottle of wine, and it's a
fantastic,
really great bottle of wine.
Yes, we definitely offer fantastic quality at quite a low price. But we need to move away from that. I mean,
it's a bit to our detriment, I think.
Yes,
sometimes.
If you work the calculation back from 40 rand, I mean, the farmer must either have 60 tons a hectare, which is basically impossible. I think the average of Stellenbosch grapes is probably 7.5-8 tons per hectare. But we need to, in South Africa, we need to take a decision and decide, listen, we need to pay more for wine, and definitely quality wine.
But don't you think it is with the thing, I was chatting to the other guys as well, it's the bulk that we're selling a lot and the perception.
Yeah, perception is, we need
is
to,
your biggest
yeah,
issue.
And perception is, you know, that we've had industry players and, you know, that said, no, listen, we need to make a decision. We're not going to sell under this price. But as you know, South Africans, there's always one guy that will be willing to sell somewhere. So fortunately, we are not in the bulk wine business, but I've got a lot of colleagues and friends that operate in that. And there is definitely a market for those wines, but we need to have good quality wines.
Change perception.
But, yes, we need to change the perception.
Yeah, because
not cheap and cheerful.
Yeah, but the premium wines as well on the shelves overseas, you see, it's selling for more expensive, but not way more.
Yeah.
You know, there's some more French wines and so forth that's much more expensive.
No, that's true. No, I think if you look at, you know, a decent price point in France, let's say in the UK, you pay, and you're willing to pay £20 a bottle or whatever, and you work it back, I think we can produce top quality wines at 300-500 rand a bottle, and we can really stand up to anything in the world to that. But yeah, as you say, the perception is South African wines shouldn't be that expensive,
no.
And we need to change that perception.
But people tend to, I think, experiment a lot these days, don't you think? Or do they stick to one brand if they're very what do you think?
There's a lot of brands that people want to develop with supermarkets, and it works for some guys. We've had one wine that we sold in the UK, but, you know, whenever they do all the decision making and they say, no, we want this, and this is what we're going to pay you, and then whenever they don't sell anything, then it's also our problem. So, you know, it's a cutthroat business. It's difficult, and I think we're in a very fortunate position to have 95% of our sales locally. We know the South African consumer.
Yeah.
I think our market is pretty stable. people, the brand Alto Rouge is so strong that sometimes I go to a wine show and you ask the people, now, do you know the wines from Alto? No, they don't know Alto. Alto Rouge. Yes, we know Alto Rouge. You know, so they, the brand is so strong that they actually think that this place is called Alto Rouge. So I think at the end, if we can do one wine, we can just make Alto Rouge.
Alto Rouge.
And sell it at a good price point for everyone to enjoy, and that is it.
It's a very special place to be at.
It is.
I hope you never take it for granted.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
But, yeah, tell me about your family. You know, you've got a wife, you've got how many kids?
Yes, I've got a wife and two children.
Yes.
Daughter is the oldest, he's 8 years old. And
okay.
Then the son is number two, and he is 5 years old.
Yeah. Awesome. And they're very interested in wine as well?
Yeah, they like to taste all the time. So, it was so funny last year when we did the barrel tastings for the 2017 wines that we bottled, the estate wines, Cab and Shiraz. My son, he wanted to taste each and every barrel with me. I promise you. So I said, "Now, Skalk, you can taste two. So you can taste this one and then the last one. Otherwise, your mother is not going to."
But it's amazing that they show interest.
Yes. No. As if he shows interest in wine, but it's more about the quad bike at the moment. He just wants to go on the quad bike every day.
Tell me, how big is Alto?
We have 93 hectares of vineyards.
Yes.
The total area of the farm is about 190. So we have a lot of soils up
big,
in the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's production wise, we have a lot of Cabernet. So Cabernet is also your probably one of your worst bearers, if you can put it that way.
Mm.
And so we have.
Why is it your worst bearer?
It's just I think it's the inherent plant DNA that just gives you that. So we do get some vineyards better than others, but it tend to be quite a low bearer.
It can produce.
Yes, quality it can produce. Yeah, I think that's also the reason why the Cabernet plantings in South Africa as a whole is decreased a lot.
Mm.
I think people planted Cabernet in areas where it shouldn't be.
Mm.
And secondly, and they also realize
they're planting more white. Well, there is overall more white.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Shiraz has overtaken Cabernet as the number one red wine variety.
Better bearer?
Better bearer. So you can get 20, 25, 30 tons of Shiraz where Cabernet will always be a shy bearer. So if you look at our situation, we have 50% Cab and then equal portions of Cab Franc and Shiraz and then a little bit of Merlot and a little bit of Petit Verdot. So we are, and on average, we only have just over 80 hectares planted every year. So we are in a continuous replanting program.
Yes.
So to put in new material, better material, cleaner material.
It
never stops. So you have to reinvest in your vineyard all the time. Something exciting that we're doing is we're going to plant Malbec next year.
Oh, stunning.
So we haven't had Malbec, and then we have the five border varieties. So,
which is typical Argentinian,
isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
And I think South Africa produces fantastic Malbec.
Mm. But the same climate, sort of. That's
very, very, very similar. But we'll probably not bottle Malbec on its own. It will be a contribution for the Rouge, and then to have a five-way border blend. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that's something new. And so we do about, this year the yield was quite low. So I think it was a 4 or 5 years drought that we had. But if we're back on track, we'll probably harvest 850 tons every year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, so it's a good quantity. Yeah.
Awesome.
Good quantity.
Show us your wines here that we're tasting. I'm really enjoying this. Was it a Cab?
No, this was the Shiraz. The first one was the Shiraz. So this is the 2016 Shiraz.
Yes. Why do you like this one so much?
You know, it's my first vintage that I did here on my own, and what I like about the wine is 16 was quite a challenge because it was a dry vintage. It's got a beautiful texture to it, almost a grainy sort of tannin, which I really enjoy. And this wine, very funny about this wine, but you don't always find a wine that goes well with spicy food.
I promise you,
it's so amazing. The other evening we had deboned chicken thighs, and they were marinated in a Prego sauce.
Oh.
And they are nice and spicy. And so I bried it, and this wine was just fantastic for that. So
I will definitely try it.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And usually it doesn't work. I mean, Shannon's work, and maybe a Richard Chardonnay, Cabusta, those type of wines work, but not red. But
I will tell Amori about it, because Amori is doing your food for our event at Funded Linda, which is in Linden, which is a lovely restaurant.
Fantastic.
And it's brand new, and she's doing something with chicken. So maybe I'll let her know as well. It likes a bit of spice.
We must make sure that she gets a bottle of wine. Maybe
I did send her already.
Oh,
I sent her samples. She's tasted all your wines. I'll tell her recommendations from the winemaker.
Okay. No, good.
This is lovely.
We don't have a spittoon, so we have to finish this.
Totally.
Before we get to the Cabernet. Yeah, so Cab, obviously, Cab is, as I said, close to heart, so we put a lot of effort in the wine, put a lot of effort in the vineyards to get really the best that we can. Yeah, it's a heartbreak sort of variety as well, because you can have a fantastic vintage, and then the wine, you know, it's tough. It's easy to produce a good quality Shiraz, but with Cab you need to start with the right ingredients. Unfortunately, we have that in this area, but you must taste all the time. It's a very,
it can be a Thomas.
Yes,
pretty much what
can,
you're saying.
It can be. Mm. It can be definitely.
That's a lot of risk, then, eh?
Yeah, it is. But fortunately, we have a lot of building blocks here, so we handle each and every block separate. Even in some vineyards, we also do separate harvesting there. Everything is kept separate right until the end, and then we have the.
Then
we blend it. Yeah. So it's a combination of probably 20 different barrel lots that we have. Yeah.
Jeez.
Ranging from.
So in a way, you are blending.
Yes,
you're just
yes.
Blending
yeah.
the same variety.
Exactly. You're just blending the same variety, but that's what makes wine interesting. Is you need to find that balance. And people say blending is not always between cultivars. It can be, you know, a little bit. This has got a little bit more wood. That's got a little bit more richness. That's a little bit more fruit. So.
Mm.
Now you have more than enough wine, so you have to choose now. No, so it's also difficult.
Barrels, French, American, or just French?
In the Cab, we have about 100% French, of which 60-65% is new. In the Shiraz, I use a little bit of American oak with that, a little bit of blonde toast barrels.
Smokiness.
It just gives you. American oak for me is like salt and pepper with food. You know, too much is overpowering, but just the right amount makes the wine better. So
okay,
it's there. You must use it as a winemaking tool. It must make the wine better. Yeah.
And other
foods
that you love with your wine?
Meat.
Meat.
Meat is easy. It always works. We've got fantastic meat in South Africa.
What's your favorite meat?
Yes, I have. But that you can't find here too often.
No.
You can find it, but it's a lot of money.
There's
really nothing that can beat a nice Karoo choppy.
Oh, yes.
Always
lamb.
A lamb. Mm. It's always the best.
It's a minty Cab.
You can cab and red meat goes together. So
I also
enjoy fish. I also enjoy lighter meals like the Alter Rouge. We've paired it with fish before. Goes very well with chicken.
White fish.
If you have
fleshier, surely.
Yeah, and if you have a richer sort of a fattier sort of fish, it just goes well. It's very versatile. But meat is meat. Meat and good steak.
And then a lovely Cab.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is 2015, and 2015, obviously, consider, if you look at all the old guys,
that is delicious.
They say that 2015 was the perfect vintage.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
This is really delicious.
I think 17 is very close to that.
You think?
Yeah, I think 16 was more challenging because of the more linear wines that you got, but I think good wine from 2016 will last a really long time. 15 was easy to make a good wine.
Yeah.
You really had to apply to make a bad wine in 2015. And where 17 has got the richness and voluptuousness of 15, but also the sort of linearity of 16, which is a good combination for me. I think in the longer run, might be wrong, but maybe 2017 will last a bit longer than 2015.
Delicious. Yeah. Well, Bertu, on that note, it's getting cold and we are pretty much on our time. So thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. We are looking forward to your event end of July. It's going to be fun. To everyone, those of you that hasn't booked, there's only like a few tickets left if you're in the Joburg area on 24th and 25th of July. We hope to see you there.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.